Today our text is going to be Hebrews chapter 5, just verses 11 through 14. And the topic, the subject is, it's a warning on spiritual immaturity. And of course, as Hebrews always does, it keeps continuing to build on itself. And so last time in our study of Hebrews, we learned about Jesus as our high priest, our intercessor for God. We learned how Jesus lived in the flesh, how he can relate to us in every way. And that makes Jesus the perfect candidate to be our representative to God, our high priest. Now, Hebrews also showed us in our last study the ways in which Jesus was qualified to be high priest. It's not just enough for Jesus to be able to relate to us. He also needs to meet the qualifications laid down by God and established in the Bible. And of course, Jesus meets those qualifications. Now, while on that subject, the very last part of verse 10 of our last text, it inspires what we're going to study today. In fact, it inspires what we're going to study for several weeks, because while speaking of Christ as our high priest, we learn that Jesus was called to be a high priest after or according to the order of Melchizedek. So the Hebrew writer brings up a figure, a character from the Old Testament, and that statement about Jesus, that fact about Jesus, causes the Holy Spirit of God through the writer of Hebrews to hit the pause button and to do a little rebuking of the Hebrew readers. There are things about Melchizedek that these folks would have a hard time grasping or understanding, and that's not good. That's not good at all. So, and because the reason this was an issue is because they had failed. They had failed to mature, to keep moving. In fact, some of them have regressed from where they once stood spiritually. Now, most of us should understand how regressing or backsliding works, the general concepts of those things. We can easily see it happen to us and others that we know in many different areas of our lives. Maybe we're the type that if we don't keep continually working on keeping the pounds off, they're going to pile up, right? And so I don't want to go there. Maybe we're getting older, right? And we have to do some brain exercises to fight off senility. Maybe those types of things. We see that in areas of life. Years ago, fascinating test subject or case study here is when I was running my family's gravel plant in another life, we had a fellow there, same age as I was, who never seemed to develop. Never seemed to develop. I had to keep teaching him the same things over and over and over again. I would joke to my cousin who also ran the plant with me and say, it's like, you know, sometimes God just hits the reset button on that guy and you start brand new the next morning and it's just out of the blue, right? And so, because we would always have to be teaching him the fundamentals. Now, what often made that situation even more frustrating was the element of time. Because as time passed, that guy felt more entitled to promotion, felt more entitled to power within the company, those types of things. Since he had been doing the job for so long, he thought he should be the boss. He could say, I've got 10 years experience on this job. The truth of the matter was, though, he really didn't have 10 years experience. It was more like he had 1 year of experience 10 times in a row. That's what he actually had. He just never developed or matured in his understanding of our operation. The spiritual application is that just because a person has been a Christian for many years does not mean that they are a mature Christian. Some Christians just repeat their first year of spiritual life over and over and over again. They just never grow. And that's the case with these folks who first received the letter we know as Hebrews. And now, there are problems with that, with the lack of spiritual growth. It's dangerous, for one thing. If we remain spiritually immature, we are never going to come to fully understand and appreciate the blessings that we have in Christ. We'll never really live out the Christian life the way God wants us to live it. It makes us more susceptible to the schemes of Satan. It keeps us from evangelizing other folks, as we'll see in our text today. It often keeps us, or causes us, to be really headaches to those who are mature brothers and sisters. Yeah, and so we'll never be all that we can be or all that we are expected to be by Jesus if we stay mature. That was the problem with that the author of Hebrews is dealing with. That's where he's found himself facing here as he began to talk about the high priest of Christ. He wants to use Melchizedek as an illustration to teach a truth about Christ and Christ being eternal and his priesthood lasting forever. And later on, he's still going to go on to do so. We'll read. He'll come back to this and he'll revisit it and he'll actually go through with it. But first he stops and spends some time on a Christian's need to mature. And in our text, we're going to read about four different warning signs of spiritual immaturity. And as we look at those signs, we're being challenged to ask ourselves, am I growing spiritually or not? Or am I just repeating my first year over and over again? Let's read all of our texts and then we'll pull out those four warnings. Starting in verse 11, it says, "Of whom," speaking of Melchizedek, "of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you've become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." The first warning sign, being dull of hearing, verse 11. The Hebrews had become dull of hearing. The phrase literally means sluggish, lazy, or stupid. That's what you've become, right? And so it refers to their mental slowness due to their spiritual apathy. They simply had no real interest in what the writer was talking about. They were just fine with having little in biblical knowledge. And because of that attitude, the writer was prevented from just simply continuing on with his argument at the moment. While the material he had to share was hard to explain, the real problem is not with the difficulty of it, but the material itself. Instead, it's their inability to receive it, to comprehend it. Let me illustrate their condition this way. Let's say a group of us after services here are standing in the back like we always do. We're having a conversation, and I'll pick on Jeff. Me and Jeff start breaking down the Ravens' loss, right? I didn't mean to bring that up. We start breaking down the Ravens' loss, and we start breaking down every little detail of the game, which we actually did Wednesday night. That happened Wednesday night. So we're all in here breaking down all the little minutiae, all the little tiny details of the game, the recent football game, all the different complexities of football in general and officiating and all that kind of stuff. You don't watch football. You're there. And you don't watch football, and you don't care about football, right? And we start in on that. And so what are you going to do, right? Well, you'll either politely stand there, tuning us out, waiting for it to be over, right? Right? Or you'll walk away, right? You'll leave. Your apathy, your lack of interest will keep you from learning more about football. The same is true of the recipients of the letter of Hebrews. Their apathy for spiritual things was evidenced by their spiritual immaturity, their dullness of hearing. And also notice that they had become dull of hearing. That in itself implies they regress. That's on top of the statement that they need to be retaught. At one time, they were not. They were not dull of hearing, but something changed. They used to be excited about what they were learning and growing in faithfulness. They had one time been growing spiritually, but something happened. Apathy set in. Really what I think happened, they lost their focus on Jesus. That's been a theme leading up to this. Focus on Christ, hold on to Christ, consider Christ. And it's not uncommon for apathy to lead someone to become dull of hearing. We have to want it. We have to want the maturity. We have to want to grow. We want to know what the Word says. Jesus addressed the same issue of spiritual apathy in Matthew 13. He's asked a question, starting in verse 10. It says, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?'" Right? "He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand.'" He goes on and says, "And in them the prophecy Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive. For,'" here's the reason why, "'for the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. The whole point of that section is that Jesus wants his followers to be people who want to be his followers, people who want to learn, people who want to grow. And Jesus used parables in order to weed out the ones who were unwilling, the ones who were unwilling to put in the time and the effort to figure out what he meant by those parables. They'd hear a parable like, oh, that's a nice story, and they'd move along. The reason the apostles are blessed is because they wanted more, and they asked for it. We have several accounts where when he starts telling parables, they're like, what did that parable mean? And what did that parable mean? They wanted it. Those who want spiritual development, those who want to know more about Jesus, more about living like him, those people will be blessed with more. But those folks who quit caring, those folks who stop trying to grow, like Jesus says, what they do have, it's going to be taken away from them. There is a great danger in spiritual apathy. And that's why Hebrews addresses it. And so now turn it on us. Are we dull of hearing? Think about it. Do activities that are spiritual in nature sound boring or dull to you? Do you look forward to learning from God's word or not? You know, do you look for areas of your life to improve, you know, to live more faithfully, to better serve God? Moving on, the second one. The second warning sign of spiritual maturity is the inability to teach others. Verse 12 there touches on that. The Hebrews should have been able to teach others. You know, they had time to learn. They had time to bear fruit. And one of the ways we bear fruit is by teaching others. Also notice that the writer didn't make teaching others an option. Way too many Christians fail to recognize that is a responsibility that every last one of us has. And so the Hebrews are reminded that in one way or another, now teaching is going to look different for every one of us, we're all different people, but the Hebrews is reminded that one way or another, they should have been able to teach others something. When it comes to teaching others, I mean, it's easy for us to talk ourselves out of it, right? Not doing it. I mean, well, I don't know what to say. I mean, what if I don't have the answers? I mean, I wasn't trained to teach. I'm afraid. I mean, the list goes on and on like that. Years ago, there was an article from Brother Steve Higginbotham wrote. He's from the Carnes Church. He wrote about this years ago, addressing this very subject. And I think an illustration from his life just really illustrates the point great for me. I remember it. From the first time I wrote, he said, my grandfather served as the county assessor for Wetzel County, West Virginia for nearly 20 years. And he wrote, I remember an occasion when I was just a little boy that my granddad loaded me up in his car and took me down to the courthouse. I remember being quite a large and impressive building. When we got inside, he asked the question, do you know what he did? My granddad took me from office to office to show off his grandson to all of his coworkers. So then he puts a question. What seminar do grandparents have to attend in order to train them to talk about their grandchildren? Right? You know the answer to that question. There is no seminar, right? Some things just don't need to be taught. A grandfather showing off his grandson doesn't require a training seminar or a training session. It just comes naturally. And then he says, if that's the case, and it is, then why do we always, so often, offer a lack of training as an excuse for not going forth and bragging on Jesus? Why? We don't need special training to speak a good word for Jesus. We just need a greater love and determination. Right? And so the question for us is, are we able? Are we able to teach others about Jesus and Christianity? Are you able to tell people why you believe, right? What you believe and why you believe it? If you have not progressed to the point where you're at least somehow, some way, telling others about Jesus, then you need to question your maturity. A third warning sign is looking at our diet. Hebrews writer uses diet there. Are we on milk or solid food? A diet of milk would consist of the first principles of the oracles of God. Literally refers to the very basic elements of our faith. We'll look at those in our text next week. He goes on to talk about that. The first principles are like the alphabet. They're like the building block units faith is built upon. And milk is necessary. Milk is a needed thing for a babe in Christ. But sadly, it's also needed for those who've progressed. Right, the last part of verse 12 says, and you've come to need it. You didn't, but now you need it again. If we're not pushing forward, with continued development, we will regress. A babe in Christ can't mature, just can't mature unless the, you know, the diet goes beyond those first principles. And so, and then we need to continue, get on the solid food and stay on that diet. But the Hebrews, they're incapable of that stuff. Their infantile state had made it hard, you know, for them to appreciate what the writer has to say about Christ Jesus. And so, and they really had no desire. That's what caused all this, the dull of hearing. They had no desire to wrestle with those things that would increase and deepen their faith in Christ. And so with us, what's your diet? What's your spiritual diet been? Has it been limited to milk? Right? Are you down to just daily Bible reading? Are you even getting that? Has it even included milk? Some Christians may not even be getting the milk of the Word of God, and they're spiritually starving themselves to death. But how about, are you getting any meat? Are you working out your salvation? Are you working harder to understand more and more passages of the Bible? The fourth warning sign is an inability to discern. Inability to discern, verse 14. It's a reminder that natural spiritual growth exercises the senses, right? As a baby grows, it learns to discern between things that are sweet and sour, hot and cold, good and bad, likes and dislikes. The same thing is true spiritually. We begin with the milk, right, which is designed to be the beginning of training ourselves. Even the basics of Christianity teaches us the difference between right and wrong. That's simple enough. But we want to exercise more. We move on. Move on to that meat, the weightier things, and applying it to our life is what it's talking about here. Verse 14, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By reason of use. And again, the idea here is the same principle that applies to the physical realm. I talked about if you don't keep moving forward, you might regress. Well, think about physical exercise once. Right? Question. Tell me what will happen to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, right? The guy's the size of a mountain, right? And so what happens to Dwayne The Rock Johnson when he stops spending so much time in the gym? He will become the incredible shrinking man, right? And so that's what's going to happen. His muscles are going to regress. He'll become much, much smaller, right? If you, say you decided you wanted to run a 5K this year, right? But you've never run before, you better train, right? You may start out walking each day, and then you might add more distance to that walk, and then you might start adding speed to parts of your walk, and then until you can actually run the full 5K. Well, we understand the concept. What happens if you take a couple months break and you haven't trained, you haven't been running, you haven't been doing any of that, and then one day you just decide to hop on and run a 5K? You're going to pay for it. Right? And so, are you going to perform? Are you going to perform as well as you did when you were training? Not at all. It's just not going to happen. You will naturally have regressed. And so you will have to do some training again. The point the writer is making is that with clear examples set before us in the scriptures, we learn right from wrong. You know, we develop the ability to distinguish between good and evil, and we become able to apply general principles to specific situations in our own lives. And as we mature, we can better discern when something is good or bad. We get better at doing what is good and right and feeding on the meat of God's word, applying it to our lives. We get better at being Christians through the process of training. But sadly, the spiritual immature, they lack that ability. They're just not as good at it, living the Christian life. And that inability to discern leaves them open to, like Ephesians 4:14, leaves them open to being tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. The simple fact is this: those who are not experiencing personal growth in the Lord are easy prey. They're easy prey for false teachers. They can find themselves participating in various kinds of wrong without ever feeling remorse for it. And so we have to ask ourselves, do I really have the ability to discern right from wrong, truth from? Am I making the right choices, wise choices? Am I able to recognize when a teaching is true to God's word and then live accordingly? Or do I depend upon someone else to spoon feed me or take me by the hand and lead me along? In our text, we find four warning signs: spiritual maturity, dullness of hearing, inability to teach others, a diet of only milk, and the inability to discern. How do we measure up with what's written? Let's make sure we actually do a proper evaluation, a proper assessment of ourselves. And And where we may be lacking, I pray we have the motivation to change direction. That's the warning of Hebrews. So that we can be better of service to the Lord, so we can bring glory to his name, strengthening the church here, and ultimately bringing others to Christ. And speaking of that, if you have yet to be clothed with Christ in baptism, the invitation is for you this morning. If you've not been forgiven of your sins in baptism, add them to Christ's church. This morning we invite you to take that opportunity to change that. Right? If you're ready to obey Christ and live for him, then please respond by coming to the forward as we stand and sing.